Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is the second week in a row where we've had readings concerning John the Baptist. Last week, Matthew chapter 3. This week, Matthew chapter 11. When you read your Bible, you sometimes wonder, like, what's the chronology, right? How much time is there between here and there? And this is not that tough. Matthew chapter 3 to Matthew chapter 11, 2 years. 2 years between last week's reading and this week's. So last week we heard John in the powerful portion of his ministry, right? Remember, he was preaching to the people of God, you need to repent and be baptized. And bear in mind, that was a little shocking to people. They felt like we're the people of God. We're right with God. What was his message? Repent. We have to change our direction. John's speaking forcefully, right? Repent and be baptized. Now, that's a message of grace, too. Be baptized was be washed, be cleansed, be renewed by the grace of the Lord. But then what he started to do, too, was notice that some people coming to the baptism were phonies. Because remember, the Pharisees and Sadducees came. What did he say to them? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? We'd say, wow, John is a little bit of a fiery preacher, right? You don't usually come to church to have the pastor yell at you like that. But more than just fiery, John had insight into who Jesus was. John 1, the book John, John 1, 29, John sees Jesus approaching in the distance, and what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wasn't that wonderful for John to have insight into who Jesus was? And he understood so thoroughly who Jesus was that when Jesus came to be baptized, John said, I should be baptized by you. Why are you here to be baptized by me? Later on, John noticing Jesus gaining throngs of people, and trust me, every pastor wants his church to grow, right? Pastor want his flock to be larger, but John had the spiritual insight to say about Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. The more you read and learn about John, you say, what a powerful saint of the Lord, right? We would say, man, I wish I had faith like John the Baptist. Except for today's reading. Everything I just said is true. John is that. He's a powerful prophet. Jesus actually says he's greater than all the prophets. Do you know why? John is he's very much an Old Testament prophet guy, right? He's preaching in the desert, the camel's coat, the locust, the wild honey, sort of a strong message. He preaches in the sense of like an Elijah or a Jeremiah. He's an Old Testament prophet, but John is the one who actually sees the Messiah. Think of this, Isaiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all those people looking for the Messiah and not seeing it, right? That's why Jesus says he's greater than all those born from women up to that point anyway, because John is the prophet who sees what's predicted. We'd say, wow, that's awesome. That's good stuff. Except when John sends a message to Jesus saying, are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? Do you hear his words? This great man of faith, this man that we would esteem, this man who preaches in the spirit of Elijah, Jesus, are you for real? Are you who you say to be, or should we look for someone else? What do we call that? That's doubt. We think faith, that's powerful, strong. Faith is up here. John is doubting. I think that's what he's doing. I've heard a couple people who don't want to deal with that. I think we sometimes struggle with the failings of the saints. And one time I heard a preacher say that John in prison had no doubts at all. He was totally sure about Jesus, but he sent these two disciples so that they would meet Jesus. Does the text read like that? I don't think it does. I think it's doing us a backflip to sort of say, we have to put these guys up on a pedestal, right? We have to put the heroes of the past, we have to turn them into a monument. This week I was reading a commentary who said that what's going on in this text is that there's actually a rift between Jesus and John, and John was saying to Jesus, it's time for you to overthrow the government, and if you don't overthrow the government, I'll turn my support over to somebody else. And I read that thinking, is everything political now? Seriously? It's best to read the text in a simple and direct way. And to see John in his doubts, because he's what? Human. John is not a monument. He's a man. And where is he? He's in prison. He's been imprisoned by Herod Antipas. And please know this, a Roman prison was no place to be, right? There was not cable TV in a Roman prison. You had a tiny little room. You ate or not. And let's be serious about it. Your human waste was with you just there, right? It was brutal. And this man of faith who knew who Jesus was, who had proclaimed who Jesus was, but who expected that when the Messiah came, everything would be set right. Right? He thinks if Jesus comes, everything will be set right. And where is he? In prison. And he is thinking to himself, I have done everything that the Lord has asked. Why am I here? So he's human. Who among us, in our good moments, can praise the Lord, right? We can confess the faith so clearly. We can say, here's what I believe about God. And what's the most discouraging thing? Circumstances. That's what it is, right? And my circumstances and your circumstances can differ. But we live in that humanness of our circumstances are so oppressive to us. We live where we are. John did do some good things. First thing he did, John knows that in his depression, in his discouragement, he needs to go to Jesus. Isn't that where he sends his messengers? Not just to anywhere, not out to the street corner. He doesn't say to his disciples, what are people saying? That's where we go quite a lot, right, in our discouragement. What do people say? What do people think? Boy, be done with that, right? John gets that he wants to go to Jesus. He sends his disciples to Jesus and asks the question. Today, we tend to, in our discouragement, think that I'll find an article on the internet, right? Or I'm going to find the right self-help book. I've done that, where I thought, I'm in a dark place. I'm going to find that one book that puts it together for me. Or maybe there's going to be a good meme on Facebook this afternoon. Isn't that where we go? John goes to Jesus. He sends his disciples to Jesus. He's thinking, where I am, I need nothing but a word of the Lord. That's what we need, right? To go to God, to hear from him. Second thing I want us to notice, John was honest with God. He was just honest. He just opened his heart to him. He didn't try to pretty it up. He's saying, "When Jesus, are you the Messiah or not?" He's, Jesus, I need to know. Are you who you claim to be? Because when he says the words, or should we look for someone else, he's saying, I'm pretty close to losing my faith, right? And the reason I want us to notice John's honesty, even his directness, is, let's be honest, as church people, we sometimes teach ourselves that we need to talk to God in the King James English. Have you done that? Doesn't it seem like, why does God speak King James? Many of you know I used to be a Southern Baptist. And man, when you're in a Baptist church, there are certain elders and you call on those people to pray, and they pray in the King James English and at great length. And you would hear that and say, wow, that guy knows how to pray. You know what I'm talking about? Now, before a meal, that's the guy you don't call on, right? But you would hear those guys pray and you think, wow, are my prayers inadequate? God doesn't need King James verbs, wouldest and shouldest and sayest and whatever. What does the word wist mean anyway, right? Read the Psalms. What do they say? In the Bible, right, the Psalms say, Lord God, why are you so far off? There are psalms, you can think they must be shaking their fists at God. God, why do the wicked prosper? Ever thought that? So did the saints before you. We're allowed to be honest with God. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible, very short. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water to the disciples? And then Peter says, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come out there on the water. I never put God to the test like that, because Jesus says, come on out here. And Peter makes a few good steps, and then he starts to sink, and then he says a prayer. Do you know what it is? Lord, save me. That's a great prayer. It's right to the point. It's perfect. Lord, save me, and he does. So John knows that he needs to go to Jesus. He needs to be honest with God. By the way, God knows your heart anyway. The next thing that happens is Jesus answers in Scripture. I just want to say this. We oftentimes need the objectivity of Scripture. And I say the objectivity because we tend to ebb and flow, right? Our moods up and down, up and down, up and down. Day to day, how quickly do we go back and forth? And Jesus says, I'm going to go to the objectivity of Scripture so that you can hear, is Jesus the Messiah? Yes, and that's why Jesus starts to say, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Did you know that Jesus is quoting the Bible? He's quoting Isaiah 35, that was our first lesson today. He's quoting Isaiah 29, he's quoting Isaiah 26, and he's quoting Isaiah 61. John, is Jesus the Messiah? Yes, it's in the text, right? I think we're those people. As Lutherans, we have a high view of Scripture. We have to sometimes let life ebb and flow like it does, and then pick up the Word and say, this is objective and this is true. And the last thing, and I want to notice this, the last thing that Jesus does is Jesus builds John up publicly. Isn't that important that when Jesus responds to John, he says, John, yes, Old Testament prophets fulfilled in Christ. This is the Messiah. And then Jesus builds John up because he starts to say to people, did you go out to the desert to see a reed swayed by the wind? No, you didn't. Did you go out to see a man in fancy clothes? You didn't go to see that either. What did you go to see? A prophet? Yeah, a prophet. Think of John in his doubts. John in despair, and Jesus says, this man is a prophet, more than a prophet. Did you know that's how Jesus speaks of his own? That's how Jesus speaks of you. We think, if I have doubts, God will be angry with me. Right? If I express my doubts, God will punish me. And how does Jesus actually talk? This man was my prophet. Jesus speaks gently of his people. In John 15, Jesus says to them, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. That's cool, right? The God of the universe who made everything comes into the flesh, and they're thinking, oh, this is scary, and we're worried, what will God do? What will God think? I call you friends. That's nice. It was nice to be with Jesus. Matthew 26, I always love that passage. Remember the woman right before Jesus' crucifixion, and she breaks an expensive bottle of oil over Jesus and anoints him with it, and the disciples do what? They criticize her, of course. Look at the waste. And what does Jesus say? He affirms it, right? He says, wherever the gospel is preached, and it's true, by the way, right? Wherever the gospel is preached, people are going to hear about this woman and what she's done for me. Isaiah 40, verse 1, almost everybody knows it. Comfort ye my people. That's Isaiah 40, verse 1. Do you know what Isaiah 40, verse 2 says? Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. I love that language, right? Speak tenderly to Jerusalem that her sin has been paid for. John doubted, as do we, right? When you're in that good moment and you say, I don't doubt, I feel firm in my faith. Excellent, rejoice in that. We all have doubted, we will doubt. And did you know the Bible distinguishes between doubt and unbelief? unbelief condemns. Hebrews 3 says that some people didn't enter the Holy Land. It says this word because of their unbelief. The Bible never commends unbelief. The Bible doesn't actually commend doubt, but God understands that we're human, all right? God knows. If or when you experience doubts, you are right there with the best of the saints. And in John's doubts, Jesus answered with scripture and with gentleness and kindness. That's our Lord. Go to God, right? Go to God in prayer. Seek His Word. Know His Word. Study His Word. Let Him speak to you and be refreshed. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.